We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Peter King appearing on the Dial Pad guest line. Peter, also brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Visit Friedman'sAppliance.com today. Peter, thanks so much for joining us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. We had our emergency session on Friday. Thanks for joining us once again today. Appreciate your time. How are you, sir?
Everything is going well. How are you guys?
Things are good, and the 49ers are 9-1, and they won a game yesterday where they had to play left-handed. They couldn't run the ball. They asked Jimmy Garoppolo to do an awful lot with a depleted receiving core. You know what? He did it. He pulled it out of his rear end, surviving a two-interception afternoon to have a career passing day. The Niners are 9-1. What'd you think of that?
You know, I didn't see very much of the game at all. But when I saw the numbers and then I saw the highlights, I said, you know, that was a really great day for Garoppolo, because I thought coming off the Monday night game, it was, I mean, even though he had a bunch of balls dropped, it was not a good night for Garoppolo. So my thought, especially after, you know, coming off a game like that, I think one of the things you want to do is you want to show your coaches and the guys on your team, you can build the game plan around me, and you're paying me enough to do that, and you can count on me. So when I, you know, was watching those highlights last night, and then plus, you know, this Kyler Murray. Now, the 49ers have seen him twice in the last 3-4 weeks, and you look at how he plays, and you say, this is, the Arizona Cardinals are not a gimme anymore. And they were for a while, and they certainly aren't now. And I mean, Jimmy had to do that for them to win, so good for him.
You mentioned that the Cardinals are not a gimme anymore, but this was the second time in 3 weeks that they seemed to have a game in hand, but then turned into the Cardinals at the end. Is it that the Cardinals are no longer a gimme, or that Kyler Murray is not a gimme? Because I can't separate the one from the other. I love watching Kyler Murray. I think on a different team, they could be talking about him the way they talk about Mahomes, Wilson, and Jackson. But on the Cardinals, who are always just a good enough to lose you a game, I just wonder if Murray is going to suffer from that for a while.
I'm sure he will, because even though they've got one of the best defensive players in the league in Chandler Jones, I think what has absolutely killed them this year, just killed them. I was looking at this last night, and I absolutely could not believe this. I wrote it down. I was going to write about it, but there was so much crap that happened in the last few days, I just didn't get to this. I want you to pay attention to these numbers right now. The Arizona Cardinals on defense are allowing opposing quarterbacks to complete 71% of their passes for 29 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, for a quarterback rating of 113.0. And look, you might just say, well, you know, they faced a couple of hot quarterbacks or whatever. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals have not played a murderer's row of quarterbacks. You know, in the last 5 weeks, you know, they've basically played the Giants, the Saints, the Niners, and, you know, Garoppolo, I like him, but he's not ascended to the top of the league, and Jameis Winston. And so they're absolutely, if you're Kyler Murray, Ray, you know that every week you've got to put up 30 at least to have a good chance to win. Because at the same time, in their last 4 weeks, you know, they've given up an average of 32 points a game. So I just don't. It's hard to blame very much on Kyler Murray when your defense is that bad.
I guess that's my point, which leads me to the next question, which is the Arizona defense everybody's MVP?
They are right now. And look, the big question for Cliff Kingsbury when the season started, and when he got hired, really, okay, the big question was, if you look at his road in college, he always was able to have one of the best offenses in the United States, always. But year after year after year, every time when you looked at that team, they're losing 56-49. I mean, at some point, you just can't ask your defense to carry you. Or you can't ask your offense to carry you. You got to play defense. And right now, as I look at it, I think the Arizona Cardinals are a very, very interesting team. But it's amazing to me with as explosive as they've been on offense, they've been outscored by 69 points. And that's like, I mean, you have no hope when you go out every week and you're basically losing by an average of 10 points or 8 or 10 points, whatever they're losing by, because you know that if you know that your defense every week is going to give that up, then you're putting an undue burden on Murray. And so at this point, I think what Steve Keim, the Arizona GM, I think what they have to do is they have to hit a couple of home runs, both in the draft and in free agency. I mean, they're probably going to be too good to get in the race for Chase Young. But, I mean, Chandler Jones probably has a couple of years left. They need to develop another pass rusher, and they also got to get much better in the secondary where Patrick Peterson has really fallen off.
Yeah, so we all agree the Arizona defense is not particularly good. And we can have a debate at some point about how much of that leads to Jimmy Garoppolo's huge passing day. That being said, philosophically, what they did seems to have worked in that they completely stopped the Niners' rushing attack and forced the Niners to beat them through the air. Now, the Niners did do that, but does that still provide sort of a blueprint for what you imagine defenses will do to the Niners going forward? Can we get more used to this sort of dead-end rushing game from a team that ran the ball so well the first half of the year?
I don't know. My feeling is that every week, I think more and more teams have gotten used to, very recently, more and more teams have gotten used to the Belichick way of game planning, which is every game plan is a snowflake. And so, in other words, you don't really know for sure what you're going to see every week. And so, like, if I am preparing for the 49ers right now, I think one of the things that I'm looking at is, I would really like to be able to prevent their defensive line from owning the game. And right now, I think, look, the best thing that's happened to the Niners right now is that their defense has been huge, you know, for most of the year. They're outscoring teams by, I don't know, over 100 points. And all of that is because they've drafted well and they've signed free agents well, both in the secondary and up front. I think what's really impressive about this team right now, and it started to show in the game against Seattle on Monday night, is that their linebacker group, their young linebacker group led by Fred Warner, is really responding to the demands that that they put on him. I mean, Fred Warner is a second year guy, and he was playing until I forget his name, Aziz got the concussion, and he was playing extremely well. And they're all playing well, so you got to give that to Adam Peters and the scouting staff for coming up with guys who are going to fit Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh's system.
The depth chart has been the reason why the 49ers were able to get to 9-1 with all the injuries that have happened so far this year. It really is a testament to that front office and some of the decisions that they made. Some of the decisions in the next 3 weeks are maybe the fork in the road of where the entire season ends up going for the 49ers, Peter. Green Bay coming off a bye at Baltimore, at New Orleans. That sounds like about as three tough a weeks as you could put together without using the words New England Patriots, right?
I mean, right now, this is a tougher stretch than if you had three straight games against New England.
There you go.
I mean, I wrote about it this morning, and I said this is the toughest 15-day stretch of any team in the league all year without any question. Combined record to the opponents is 25-6. And look, when you are at Baltimore and at New Orleans on successive weeks, and both of those teams right now, I mean, I would say right now in the AFC, I'd say if you ask one of those analytics guys, what's the percentage chance of one team going through to make the Super Bowl? I mean, Baltimore, I would think is number one right now in the AFC, and if New Orleans isn't number one, it's very tight for number one. So I sort of look at it and I say, you know, this is going to be the time when Kyle Shanahan basically can say to his team, look, you know, now we're going to find out how good we are. And, I mean, I think it's one of the things that makes their game against Green Bay so huge, because only a fool would say they're going to sweep New Orleans and Baltimore. Now, they might. You never know. It's the way football is. But I think that's what makes this game Sunday so important.
It's a huge one, no doubt about it. Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Raider fourth-round rookie Max Crosby had a little bit of a coming-out party, making him just the youngest next Raider to come out with a coming-out party. Josh Jacobs has basically been having one all year. You could say that Derek Carr is enjoying a returning-to-relevancy party all year. And, man, so is John Gruden, who was doing in year two everything, Peter, that didn't really happen in year one. Is there a win total that makes John Gruden the coach of the year?
I mean, there's probably eight guys we could talk about right now for coach of the year. And I don't know the answer to that. I think if they win 10, he's the coach of the year. Well, then what happens if John Harbaugh wins 13 so I can't answer that question because I don't know. But I think the one thing I would say is that in my feeling, I was skeptical, obviously, as I think most people were about Gruden returning. Not skeptical that he wouldn't do a good job, but skeptical that everybody looks at John Gruden as the great white whale and he's the best coach in football, you know, west of Belichick and all that stuff. And look, you know, I think John Gruden is a very good football coach, very good. But you got to have the players. And that's why I think that one of the best things, you know, and no one really knew at the time how good the match will be. And look, we're only, 10 games into this. But I think the real key for the Raiders was the combination platter of Gruden and Mayock. because I think Mayock is the kind of guy who is so prepared and so smart that he can say to Gruden, John, and John obviously has the ability to do whatever he wants, but Mayock has the ability to be able to say, John, we're not doing this. Don't do this. And I think, I spent some time with Mayock and Gruden on day two of the draft this year, and Mayock twice in the first round of that draft, both with Josh Jacobs and with Jonathan Abram. Gruden would have been fine if they ended up trading up a little bit, but Mayock said, hey, don't worry, we're going to get him. And they ended up getting him. So I think John Gruden needs to have somebody in that seat who he really, really trusts. And it isn't that he didn't think that McKenzie was good or anything like that, but he just didn't have that trust in him deep down. And so at this point, I think the whole Mayock thing, especially when you look at, and look, it isn't only Max Crosby, but you've seen Trayvon Mullen, who I think was like middle two. And then obviously Foster Moreau has given him a great 1-2 combination at tight end. And obviously, you know, when you get Hunter Renfro past the middle of the draft, I think he was a fifth-round guy. When you get him that low and he's playing as well as he is, I mean, that's an incredible bargain. If Hunter Renfro had been the 35th pick in the draft instead of whatever he was, but, you know, 150 or 160 or whatever it is, I would have said, boy, what a great pick that was.
Yeah.
And now to get him where they got him, you know, I think the two teams in the NFL this year that I think when I look at are just having a good year as far as in the last couple of years, really, in terms of adding personnel and getting value for where they've added them, are Baltimore and Oakland. I think they've each done a great job, and it's showing. You know, if you can trade down a whole lot when you're the Baltimore Ravens in 2018 and get some incredibly valuable players and pieces, and when you can pick your franchise quarterback at number 32, that's a huge help to your franchise.
So all that assembled, are the Raiders a team that has done well enough to take advantage of a relatively soft schedule when everybody thought at the beginning of the year that it was going to be difficult, or the team that's still minus 25 in point differential?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Ray. I think what they have to do is, without being cliche-ish, but I think what they have to do is just say, okay, we got the Jets this week. Let's not worry about anything else other than how can we hit Sam Darnold 15 times on Sunday? And how can we stop the Jets on the road? And the Jets are playing a little bit better. So when you struggle to beat the Cincinnati Bengals at home, no win is a lock. And so I wouldn't be thinking too far ahead if I were the Raiders, especially if the Chiefs were to lose tonight. I wouldn't be celebrating too much. I mean, it would be amazing if on November 19th or whatever it is that to see the Raiders ahead of the Chiefs in the AFC West and ahead of everybody. But it's a credit to them for surviving the Bataan Death March of the road trip and all that stuff. But I mean, they've really, really done a great job.
Peter, I do not want to lead the witness in any way, but we do have to get to our final topic with enough time for you to dive into it. What did you think of what Kaepernick went through in Atlanta?
I think when you discuss this in a nuanced way, as I attempted to do this morning in my column, then, nobody really seems very happy about it. In this hot take culture, everybody wants you to have a very strong opinion right now about what happened. But here are my three opinions that sort of conflict with each other. And I'll give them to you in very Cliff's Notes version. Number one, if he desperately wants to play in the NFL again, which he continues to say, he did not help himself at all on Saturday. Not at all. In fact, in the eyes of some, he really hurt himself. Just go out and work out, and for once, don't make it about all the people who are trying to wrong you. You know, he's got this, and again, we can discuss all the other things involved. Why did the NFL do it? Was this waiver proper? All this other stuff. Forget it. Go and work out. You know, go and show everybody just what they want to see, that you're still a good player. You've been invisible for 3 years. Nobody's seen you play football for a long time. Go and work out. And to continue to hear him say, oh, I desperately want to play football. I want to do this. And then to think of every excuse under the sun to not go out at, when you've got potentially 20 or 25 teams that are going to watch you, I think is just it. The only word I can think of it really is sad. That's all I can think of. Now, the other part of it I will say is, in my opinion, the NFL, which, whether it was good intentioned or not, the NFL did a dumb thing. And that is, there was no need to rush this thing into happening. The NFL people who I talked to said, basically, this workout should have happened sometime in February or March, where people are thinking about next season. Nobody on November 15th or whenever this happened is thinking, hey, let's get Colin Kaepernick in here, teach him our offense so that he can play the last two games of the year. Nobody's going to do that. So why shoehorn this thing into your schedule? Give it some thought. And when you think about it, sit down with Colin Kaepernick and his people and say, let's talk about the ground rules. Let's get everything set up so at the end there isn't this back and forth bickering, oh, you're trying to screw me, you're trying to catch me, and all this stuff. Figure out the rules before you go into it. Didn't the NFL have an idea that Colin Kaepernick and his representatives would find something to be pissy about when they started this, and it, to some degree, rightfully so? Okay, so that's the second thing. But the third thing is, I thought Marcus Thompson wrote, and I don't know Marcus Thompson, but I read his column last night in The Athletic, and I thought it was really, really smart, which is that Colin Kaepernick is not going to do, which, and this is probably the reason why he'll never play again. Probably, but I still think there's a chance. But probably the reason he'll never do it is because if he senses any sort of injustice involved in the process, he's going to say, hey, screw it. I'm just not going to do it. It's more important for me to have ultimate fairness than it is to march to somebody else's drum. And that is, in essence, probably why he's never going to play football again.
Interesting stuff all the way around. And I know that what you know, you talk about wanting to discuss it in a nuanced, adult, just filling out an application for a job way. And there are so many people who want to continue to just fish in a pond of outrage of how we got here in the first place. I don't know, like, I mean, do we have more olive branches and doves, or are people still very hawkish on this? Like, the whole thing, to me, just screamed of hastily planned and poorly executed.
Yeah, it was right. You're absolutely right, and there was no reason to have it now. I have not heard one person, not one person, all year say, man, I wonder if Colin Kaepernick has been working out, and I wonder if he might be an option for us instead of Nathan Peterman or whatever. Not a soul has said that. And you can blame a lot of people for that. But, and I'll say this because I think the NFL absolutely deserves its share of blame, whether it's Jay-Z, whether it's Goodell, whoever it is. They deserve their share of the blame for this for a very simple reason. They tried to wedge this into the NFL calendar when it needed some discussion before they call them and they say, hey, at 4 o'clock today, we're going to make this announcement, or however it exactly worked last Tuesday. But all I can say is this is the way I feel about things in life. If I desperately want something, and Colin Kaepernick says I don't know if he used the word desperately, but he really wants to play football. You know, football is a team game. And sometimes in a team game, you have to do some things that you don't really want to do. And if the control of this workout was so objectionable to you that you wouldn't put who you are right now as a football player on tape, I think that's Colin Kaepernick's fault.
Peter, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. And I won't make any promises, but feel free to plan something for yourself on Friday. We probably won't double dip with you this week.
Hey, you never know. Things tend to happen in the NFL this time of year.
Indeed they do. Thanks so much.
All the best, guys. Take care.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.